Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Pat Weber is our guest. I'm glad she's here, too, because she's one of the coolest ladies that I know. She's America's number one sales coach for introverts. Do you have to sell, but you really don't like it much? you like sales, but you don't like people? Pat can help you. Right, Pat?
That's right. I can do that, Jim.
Have you ever known anybody who needed to sell but they didn't like people?
I'm trying to think about if
I know
did,
people.
Or how
I
many,
know.
Which would be the answer?
I know small business owners who whatever they inherited the business or whatever, but they, you know, it's obvious. I don't know how they stayed in business. They obviously don't like people.
Hopefully, they have a lot of people who work for them that like people. That would make up for it.
Well, eventually, you know, they do. I actually know people who, if their Salesforce left them, they'd be out of business. They couldn't go out and call on a customer.
Well, that's not devastating as long as they recognize that and make sure that they have those people always with them.
Right.
Not necessarily the same people, but those kind of people.
Right, and let somebody else manage them. They don't even need to manage the salespeople, right?
Exactly.
Okay, Pat, the economy is going in the wrong direction for a number of different reasons. And yet, Pat, incredibly, the utility bill keeps coming in. It hasn't gone down like the economy. My gas prices are going up. The house payment, the rents, you know, come and due every time. The insurance bills are coming in. So even though the economy is going down, my bills are still coming in. How do I deal with this?
You know, Jim, do you remember 1990, 91, 92?
Of course.
We had a recession. Well, they called it a recession.
Yeah.
See, I think my luck is that I got a D in economics in college. And so I'm starting my business during a recession, and I have people all around me saying, why are you doing this now?
Are you nuts?
What, the banks are in a crisis, and nobody's buying anything. And I don't know. It really was by the end of my 12th month, and, you know, supposedly it was supposed to take me longer to make money than that, according to the Small Business Association. But I had already grossed $60,000 in revenue, and that was my very first year in business.
Mm-hmm.
This year, as I hear this talk, it's been going on for quite a while, I'm wondering, will that same mentality serve me? And I think it is, because I have a lot more prospects than I did before. But I'm also listening to other people that I know as I network in my local area. And, you know, it's like realtors. I thought that part of this whole thing, Jim, was in the housing market, right?
Right.
Okay. So here's this realtor friend of mine. We're at a meeting just last week, and she said, I'm having the best year I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I'm going, maybe she got a D in economics as well somewhere along the
well,
line.
Well, you mean because she didn't know she wasn't supposed to?
Certainly that's not the only thing. I think that there's a lot that small business owners and independent professionals and the salespeople that work for the small business owners need to start thinking about. And I think it's like in the whole process of it, I was thinking of, are you more like a thermometer going with your business where the media and all of the talk about the recession goes, or are you more like a thermostat, which if you had a thermostat that wasn't working, you'd fix it.
Right.
But if you're a thermometer, you're just going to go wherever.
You have no choice. You have to go wherever the wind blows you.
Right.
Wherever the temperature takes you.
So I think that you, there's certainly a lot you can
That's an excellent analogy, by the way, Pat.
Thank you. You know, I think you told me that the last time I was.
I don't remember if I've heard that you do that before, but that's excellent. Well, you know, and let me throw something else in here. I've been talking a lot about availability cascade. Have I mentioned that term to you before?
No, and could you just review it?
Availability cascade is a word I learned from Holman Jenkins, a term I learned from Holman Jenkins with the Wall Street Journal in an article he wrote about another topic.
Uh-huh.
He said whenever you hear something, you come continuously bombarded with information about a certain topic
right.
in the media.
Right.
You read the paper, you see it on the television, you hear it on the radio, et cetera, et cetera. You're just continuously bombarded by that. If whether it's true or not, whether it's real or not, eventually you start believing that it is true.
Mm-hmm.
And you start taking action and behaving in a way that as if it were true.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what you're talking about. And, you know, that's the thermometer thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And what I say is, okay, guys, your rent's coming due. The utility bill is going to have to be paid. Are you going to be in business a year from now when we're not in a downturn? Well, if you're going to be in business a year from now, you still got to sell today.
Right. And, you know, that's a good point, what you bring up. The utility bills are still coming in. The taxes are still due. I mean, part of what I think people can do who sell, or small business owners who have that staff who does that selling for them, is, you know, look and take a more global perspective. What part of the market is not being affected right now? Certainly, there are some. And literally, even within the areas where the media is telling us there is a problem, like in the example of the realtor who said she's having her best year ever, and then she also quoted that she had a competitor just before the meeting who got two offers on a listing she had just put up about a week ago.
Yeah.
So here we are in a geographic area that probably isn't as affected by that whole talk about the housing market.
Right.
So that's the other thing about what you're saying with the bills are coming in. That just points to take a different perspective, you know, maybe more global or maybe more finite. Where and who is still buying?
Somebody is buying from somebody today.
Exactly.
Even as we speak. So it might as well be you. Stand by, Pat. We're going to take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 20 after the hour. Pat Weber is our guest. She's America's number one sales coach for introverts like me. Stay with us. And balanced on the precipice, the moment my a little bit of Steely Dan for you there. Some serious rock and roll guitar. I love Steely Dan. Welcome back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use them to your advantage. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find the show. All the different ways you can listen to the show, besides the radio. Don't forget, we're on the radio across the country. But also, you can find our Brain Trust members there, like our good friend Pat Weber, who's with us right now. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday. You can read thousands of articles, listen to thousands of archives of past interviews that I've done. So check them out and use them to your advantage. And our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where you can get small business answers right now. So hope you check those out. No barrier to entry. Whatever you need, we'll do our best to get it for you. Pat Weber is our guest. We're talking about selling in a down market. Now, Pat, the thing that we were talking about, before we go any further, give us your website too, please.
Can I give you my blog?
I would love it if you did that.
Okay, because that's an easier one. It's still a long name, Jim, but it's Patricia Weber with one B, like in the grill, patriciaweber.blogspot.com.
That's not too long. You ought to hear the college websites I get in here sometimes.
Well, I know you've told me my main website, introvertscansucceedatsales.com.
Yeah, that's
is
too long.
Too long.
That's
so
too long.
I tried to shorten it up.
So you shortened it by two letters, right? Is that what you're doing here? Patricia Weber at blogspot.
PatriciaWeber.blogspot.com.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So check it out, folks, and find whatever Pat has to say is good stuff. So you want to read her blog. I promise it'll help you. Pat, we're talking about what's going on right now, even as we speak. Even as
right.
you and I talk about this, somebody's buying something from somebody. People
right.
aren't, the marketplace hasn't closed up, folks. It's just retrenched. Here's what's happening, Pat. For every person who's going to have a good year this year,
mm-hmm.
somebody's going to go out of business.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they didn't get up on their hind legs and go out into the marketplace and make it happen.
Right.
And the person who is having a good year didn't do anything more than that, than just getting up on their hind legs, didn't believe the availability cascade, said, you know what, I got to sell anyway.
Right.
I got to do business anyway. And when all these other people flaked out and fell out of the marketplace, they just picked up the pieces like it was low-hanging fruit.
That's right.
It's happened to me before.
Mm-hmm. You mean you didn't sell well in a...
No, I've been the recipient of it.
Yeah.
No, I've walked, and I have to tell you, to be full disclosure, folks, it's human nature, Pat, to want to say, you know what, nobody wants to talk to me today. People aren't buying. It's human nature to kind of feel that way.
Right.
But that's what I'm talking about when I say get up on your hind legs.
Right.
If you'll go out there and knock on that door anyway and say, hi, I'm Jim, how do you like me so far?
And I think it also might be that you have to knock on different doors. That's
yeah.
what I mean by I like your talking about how the bills are still coming in. Well, there are still parts of our whole world that are buying different products, different services, and probably the same as what you offer or might offer. So I think you have to, you know, in getting up on your hind legs, as you say, you have to almost think about, where is it good, and can my product or service, can they be interested in what I have, what our company offers? And that's who you need to be knocking on the door of.
Right.
And just ignore this. I mean, if you turn on the TV or some of the radios, you're going to hear how bad it is. But it's not bad everywhere.
That's right.
Otherwise, why would one realtor talk about how great her business is, how this is the best year ever, and another realtor not wanting to broadcast to the world that it's not so good, but, you know, in the little talks that you have at the tables, well, it's not so good for me. What's
right.
the difference there? You're living in the same community. You've got the same audience to talk with. It has to do with those things that you just said, this not falling victim to the availability cascade, and then getting up out there and talking with who you need to talk with who is buying.
You know, Pat, I have had a prospect in my marketplace before
mm-hmm.
that I just heard laid off, you know, 10,000 employees globally or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that kind of news that just came across the transom, that would be a good place for me to avoid, wouldn't it? You know, these people are, they're scared for their job, right? But guess what? I went in anyway, knocked on the door, and I said, hey, I'm Jim. How do you like me so far? And they said, you know what? I'm glad you came. We need you.
That's right.
And you know what? And if I had believed the news, I wouldn't have gotten the business. Here's the thing to remember, folks. Where are you right now? You're outside of their building. What's the worst that can happen if you go in? You'll be back outside their building.
And you were already outside their building.
Yeah,
so
that's the worst that can
really
happen.
Matter. Nothing
that's
changed.
Exactly right. Pat, can you stay one more segment?
Yes.
I want to segregate, though. I think there's something we need to point out, and I want your thoughts on this. I want to segregate existing customers and prospects.
Oh yeah.
That's a big deal, isn't it? It takes different courage, different kinds of perspectives to deal with existing customers, because you know something about those guys.
Right.
And prospects, and you don't know anything about them. And so
right.
we'll do that when we come back with our good friend Pat Weber. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Billy, Dusty, and Frank, that little band from Texas, to take us out.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me today. Pat Weber is still with us. We're talking about selling in a down economy. Pat, a couple of things. There are three things I want to talk about in this segment.
Okay.
Number one, you know, you and I spend a lot of time talking about business to business type of selling, because that's usually where you know, when people take their kit bag and their briefcase and they go on the road, that kind of thing. That's one. But there's a lot of retail. There's a lot of retail business going on out there. And so, folks, you still have to let people know you're in business. You can't pull back on your marketing. And when somebody walks in, don't assume that they're not going to spend a lot of money with you. Don't have a dour look on your face. Don't have the attitude, oh, they're just killing time. They're not going to buy anything from me. Give them the maximum opportunity to do business with you.
There was a segment on the news last night. We don't watch too much TV, but on Sunday night we like a lot of those, like History Channel and things like that.
Yeah.
And just before that came on, there was a segment about the retail market itself and how there are some areas that are actually now acting in their business like my husband and I have seen. We've traveled the world and we've seen this over in Europe quite a bit, where the retailers now in the U.S. in some places are actually negotiating on the pricing of some of their products.
Yeah.
And they were actually showing, and this is how it happens. Like, I can think of Turkey when I think of this, because we actually lived in Turkey for a couple of years, not just visited there. But when you go into the bazaar, B-A-Z-A-A-R, anywhere in Turkey, and you walk into a store, they expect you to negotiate. And that's actually what's happening right now in certain sectors in the U.S. When people walk in, you can actually turn to maybe that couch or that easy chair that you want to really have for your home, but you don't quite want to pay $1,500. You might say to the store owner, and the store owners need to be thinking about that, people in retail, well, you know, how about if I give you about $995 for it? Now, if you're the buyer, you need to kind of walk away and let the retailer know that you're serious about that offer and let them decide whether they want to give it to you or not. But when you're overseas and you're in the European and Asian market, those buyers have that mindset already.
Yeah, that's right.
And right now, when you were saying, when we were talking or when we were on here talking, but, you know, you need to think a little bit differently about how you're doing things. Another thing about getting up on your hind legs, think about, if you're a retailer, what can you do to maybe renew your relationships with previous customers? Maybe they are somebody who...
Stay in touch with them.
Exactly.
What, Pat, I want to move over quickly to current customers and prospects.
Okay.
Current customers, they're the ones that you already have an entree to. You can probably get inside of you, they probably know you pretty well. You're probably friends. Ask them what you can do to help them, right?
Yes, ask them. Well, I think you could ask them several things, but certainly what can you do to help them now? Because they may be the ones who are in a position that are being hurt by all this talk.
Right.
Through no fault of the talk, but literally they're in that market.
But they're still, their bills are still coming due. So you can be part, you can find out how you can be part of the solution.
That's exactly right. And they would appreciate that. I think that, you know, that almost every business, in a sense, is relationship-oriented to a degree. It may not be to the degree in business to business, but it may be at least an opening for you to renew that relationship, help somebody in a way that you haven't thought about, and then you don't know how that's going to open with avenues for you that could be successful and come back and help you.
Well, and see, what I've done is I've said, look, tell you what I'm going to do. You know, you've told me that you're having a hard time with your margins. I am too, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a discount right now, but I'm going to ask you in a year from now, when things are going better, I'm going to ask you to let me recover that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had them to say, it's a deal.
You don't know till you ask, right?
That's exactly right.
You were saying earlier, you know, to go and make the call that you are feeling all that reluctance about making. You're not any further along in the sales process until you get to that next step. If you have in your mind you're not going to be able to have someone buy from you anyway, then if they say no, it was true to begin with. But if they say yes, then you're further ahead. And it's the same thing with going to your current clients and seeing what you can do for them and building and really solidifying that relationship.
Give us your blog again, Pat.
PatriciaWeber.blogspot.com.
Thank you, Pat, for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great one.
See you later. Quick break. Right back with just me and you right after these messages. 22. We're going to talk about technology.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market? Sort of.
Visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99.
Aflac!
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazards for me is being a business owner.
That's why I'm a client of Administaff.
They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes,
giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Scott Aaron, president of New Horizons Computer Learning Center here in North Carolina, and I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all of my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing the business, not preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Hi, folks, this is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get practical answers to your business questions? Go to IBM's Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Ask your question, and it will be answered by email by a member of My Brain Trust. How would you like to improve customer communications or increase employee productivity? Or maybe you need help with marketing, data security, or an accounting system your company can grow with. Are you interested in learning how other companies are using technology and how they've approached small business challenges? An array of articles and customer testimonials, plus IBM's e-newsletter, Forward View, are ready for you at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. And if you're interested in hardware and software solutions, plus current promotions, all of this is available at IBM's Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and it's just you and me. I'm going to continue our series on fundamentals, operating fundamentals, and today I'm going to talk about technology. You know, and this is not going to be a, you know, walk to school both ways uphill in the snow story, but but I will tell you that my career spans a pretty significant shift in technology. You know, when I started out in the marketplace way back, decades ago, technology was pretty much mechanical, and we had a lot of carbon paper, and a lot of pens, a lot of big ballpoint pens, and typewriters. That's what we had. And in the '70s, I made my living with a cross pen and an Underwood 5 typewriter for a long time. A lot has changed, hasn't it? Now, let me tell you why did I go through all that? Why is all that important to you as a small business owner? Well, in those days, the period of time I was talking about just then, the big companies had wonderful technology. Now, it wasn't wonderful compared to today, but compared to my big pen, compared to my Underwood 5 typewriter, it was magic. It was magic, ladies and gentlemen. And so they could just wow me. They could impress me with their technology, and it relegated small business owners in those days to being backwater mom and pops, because we just could not compete with the technology of the big companies. But now, General Motors or AT&T or somebody like that might pay somebody $25 million to build them one application. Now, it would be a magical application, and it would be powerful for the day, but it would cost them $25 million. And you could have had one of those, too, if you had $25 million, but we didn't, right? Small business owners in those days, of which I wasn't one in those days. But here's where things are different, ladies and gentlemen. This is the cool part about right now. This is where the paradigm shift is, I think. Today, you and I have applications that are available to us, powerful, magical applications that are available to you and me today for pennies almost. Pennies a day, as they say, right? Some of them are free that you and I can use. There are programs out there you can buy for $99 that make the $25 million thing that AT&T or GM bought back in the 70s make it look like a piece of carbon paper. I'm serious. You know about some of these things, right? So this is what's happened for small businesses. The technology, the technological age, the digital age, we went from the industrial to the computer age to the information age and the digital age, right? I guess that's the order. All of those transitions have put you and me in a position to be able to compete on many, many levels, almost 100%, almost one-to-one. And to the degree that with big companies, and to the degree that they still have an advantage in one area, you and I have an advantage in other areas. And so I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how technology has changed the way you do your business. And I want you to think about where you can go with that. Now, one of the problems we've got today, right now, even today, even as the economy softens, as unemployment is increasing, it's not bad. Never mind what the talking heads say. It's not really that bad. Unemployment's still below 5%. But still, even if unemployment does increase, that's not going to change the fact that you and I are having a hard time finding qualified people. And so when we find qualified people, we've got to make sure that they're doing the things that only humans can do, that they're not doing things that technology can do. If technology can do something and it doesn't have a negative impact on your customers, ladies and gentlemen, do it. Because there's almost nothing today that you need to have done in your small business that you can't find a technological application for, or a vendor who's an expert in that technological application. Maybe you need to hire an outsourced vendor, as I've done in many cases, somebody who they have the technology that you could have bought yourself or I could have bought myself, but they're the experts at operating that technology, and I can buy a little piece of them through the outsource relationship. Anything that you can do today that technology can do that a human being doesn't have to do it. Because here's what that's doing. That's making you more efficient. It's making you more productive. It's lowering your payroll. It's helping you to allocate your payroll assets and your people. All your human resources activity, it's helping you to focus that more on your core competencies, which is where you need to be focusing, right? So I want you to think about that. Notice I didn't talk about any one technology, a PC or anything like that. I can't list all of them, folks. This is not about one thing. This is about the marketplace that's in front of you. And it's full of technology. And the beautiful part for you and me, small business owners, is it's incremental applications and pricing you and I can afford. It's Tintel. Stay with us. More to come after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.